Between the Wasatch Mountains and the Bonneville Salt Flats, deep in the heart of Salt Lake City, Utah, this is Culture Crash.
See, because it's this shape of your intestine.
I know, but it all comes out the one Play-Doh hole.
I'm glad somebody else thinks of it like that.
The one Play-Doh hole.
Somebody else.
Well, now I do, too, so there's two somebody else. The Play-Doh hole. Yeah. Okay, anyway, we'll talk about
when you're,
I will Google
no,
this.
No. We're somewhat funny people.
Okay.
All right.
I think we're funny.
Okay, yeah. Somebody find a way to tie this to today's topic.
Speaking of poo, let's talk about Back in the Future.
No. Boo. Boo your transition.
Segue. Welcome to Culture Crash.
Welcome.
Yay.
I'm Rebecca.
I'm Gavin.
Yep, that's our crystal behind the curtain.
The wizardress. Yes. Anytime this show made it on the air, a wizard did it.
Yes.
Magic. That's how I assume the internet works.
Yeah, magic.
I told you guys.
It's held together by cardboard, duct tape, and tubes.
Well, I told you guys I was trying to figure out how to internet, and I learned so much about how websites work.
You're
and
like,
I thought you just
whoa.
Put things like on
copy
it.
And paste.
Like, right?
Make it go, internet.
And Google how to make internet go.
How does internet go?
Wah, wah, wah.
So what are we talking about this week, guys?
Well, on this episode, we will discuss the ultimate time travel films, Back to the Future.
What?
Yeah.
All three
of them.
Yeah, you're getting triple your flavoring here.
Yeah, and Gavin is actually most interested not in the films itself, but in the actual generation gap.
Yes, because here's the issue, and we're going to address this right off the bat. How old are you, Rebecca?
I am 24 years old.
When did you see Back to the Future for the first time?
About 4 weeks ago.
What the fuck? What
By
the
four.
Fuck?
I think we had to be forced to watch it, too.
Because you were forced to watch it.
I wasn't forced.
We still can't force her to watch Princess Bride. So.
Oh, we'll work on that.
That'll be
this show.
That'll be a future episode. That's the purpose of this show, guys.
But I think Crystal can agree with me. We watched it when we were young.
Yeah.
Like
it was the thing. I mean, yeah.
It was
pretty cool.
It was as close to geek religion as possible.
Well, then, okay, let's clarify. I'm 24. How old are you two?
31.
I'm not saying.
Okay, no, that's fine. That's fine.
Old enough to know better.
Old enough that I was young when I watched Back to the Future.
But you understand what we're saying. Like,
yeah.
What
would Back to the Future, like, what for your generation, what would be the Back to the Future for Rebecca's generation?
You youngins.
See, that's tough to say because
yeah, there is. I mean,
I'm abnormal because I haven't seen a lot of stuff. Like a lot of stuff, like as a teenager, in like what, starting in the year 2000. Starting like in the year 2000, let's say, is when I actually started paying attention to like media. I don't think that there would be considered like a Back to the Future of my.
Was there any like?
There's two that I can think of. One's depressing.
If you say Twilight, I'll punch
no.
you in your face.
No.
Because that's not my generation.
The fun one is Toy Story.
Okay.
The more depressing one, if you count the other two with it, is the Matrix trilogy.
Okay. I can see that.
I would go with Matrix.
Those are the big two that I can think of,
why do you think Matrix is depressing?
Because 2 and 3 sucked. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we can talk about this because I don't like any of them.
I honestly haven't seen them since I was young. Those are movies that I actually did go to the theater to see.
I would say that's a good, like, that was your futuristic movie of your generation.
But would you say that The Matrix still, as Back to the Future's influence, whatever year it is, 2013, Back to the Future's influence in 2013, is The Matrix's influence as strong or comparable to Back to the Future influence? Nowadays.
No, I don't think so. I mean,
so do you think that Back to the Future's influence is stronger?
I think here's the difference because we can get into this later. But The Matrix, the first one, still kind of holds water. I mean, you can watch that and be enthralled with it without having to watch either two. Back to the Future, it's both an adventure and a bit of a fantasy because you want to be that. I can't recall a time when I wanted to be hooked up to a giant fucking computer.
And
shearing pain knowing that my race is dying.
It was more lighthearted and fun than Matrix.
So then, is this limited to trilogies? Because I would say like Harry Potter, the Harry Potter series, definitely, like for me at least, I watched those as a teenager.
It wasn't really,
and wanted to be part of that world.
I would say for safety reasons, we should keep this to trilogies. Because okay. Harry Potter, to me, doesn't feel like a trilogy. That's an event.
But Harry Potter is also a whole world, and Back to the Future also kind of spurned a whole world.
Matrix.
But I mean, we could get into that with Star Wars too. But
okay,
let's avoid Star Wars discussions for other podcasts.
What were we talking about again? Where were we going with
Back to the Future's impact? And
okay,
and here's the thing: the generation gap. Like for you and I, Crystal, it was almost geek religion. Like you had to watch this. What happened to where within a 7-year span, at least between me and her, that it's no longer a thing? Like, it's not part of the vernacular.
Well, let's keep in mind, Back to the Future was released in
1989.
85. 80. Oh, that's when the sequels came out.
89. 90. Yeah.
Okay. Also, well, either way, I was born in 89. Mm-hmm. So, like, there's no reason for me to watch Back to the Future until, like, let's say I'm like 7.
But at the same. But that's what I'm saying is, like, that's about the time.
Yeah. I mean, it was, we were young. I mean, that's about what time. I mean, and I guess if your parents weren't like, oh my gosh, this was so cool, they wouldn't have shown it to you.
They were with Star Wars.
That's
the bigger point. It's like, you got the Star Wars treatment, but not Back to the Future.
Right. But take it up with them.
Weird.
Take
I will.
So, Crystal, you have kids.
Yes.
Have they seen Back to the Future?
Yes, all three.
Okay. And how old were they when they first saw it?
Around 7. Like, when we started watching movies together.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're an adult and you have to watch movies with your children, you got to watch something that you're going to enjoy. And Back to the Future is something you enjoy. So, like, they've seen Back to the Future. They've seen Pee-wee's Big Adventure, Princess Bride.
Okay, well, I've seen Pee-wee's Big Adventure. I watched Pee-wee as a kid. I did do that.
Big Top Pee-wee. I mean, my kids didn't see that. I had, you know, you had to show them on DVD. So, yeah, they seen Back to the Future. And then they actually kind of booed you when I said, you know, Rebecca hasn't seen. They're like, what?
You guys make me sound like I live in Amish country and I don't know, like, what a film is.
What a Back to the Future is.
What is a future and how do you go back to it?
What were you? What time travel stuff were you raised on? Time Cop?
What's a Time Cop?
Are you being real with us right now?
I don't know what a Time Cop is.
Holy shit.
I know what a Terminator is.
Okay, all right. Okay,
was that your first time travel, the Terminator?
No.
First time travel movie.
Ooh, that is a good question.
First time travel movie.
There was a movie.
If it's Clock Stoppers.
Fucking going to say Clock Stoppers.
Oh my God.
I'm trying to think of like what other time travel. Well, okay, what other time travels came out in the 90s?
In the 90s.
To internet.
It's going to come to me. We've gotten so off topic before we hit the real topic.
I know. I haven't even even talked about my intro synopsis about Back to the Future.
So that's what. Yeah, I like the idea of the intro synopsis, and you guys can say if you recommend or don't recommend. So if somebody hasn't seen it, if somebody is
okay,
also had a horrible
Star
childhood.
Trek: First Contact.
Okay.
Terminator 2, Back to the Future Part 3, 12 Monkeys, Star Trek Generations, Groundhog Day. Never seen Groundhog Day, by the way.
It's sitting on the shelf over there if you'd like.
Let's see. Wah! Austin Powers.
That does not
The
count.
Spy Who Shagged Me. Bill and Ted's Bogus. Army of Darkness. Not my first one, though.
Yeah.
But excellent.
See, do they have a time travel machine, though? These
Galaxy
like,
Quest.
Again, you've never seen Time Cop?
No, I didn't even know that
Why
was a thing.
They put Ninja Turtles 3 on this list.
Black Adder. Why Black Adder?
There's an episode.
We're Back, A Dinosaur Story? Okay, I'm going to say that is my first time travel movie. We're Back, A Dinosaur Story. I remember watching that religiously. Diss it if you want.
Okay, now that we've done examining your childhood.
We know your basis. On
After you got out of Amish country and were living on your own.
introduced to this wide world of pop culture and media. Yeah.
What made you go and watch Back to the Future? Was it the boyfriend or was it just I need to?
It was a lot of things. It's weird how frequently it has come up recently. not just like right now, but you know, I have a lot of friends who, you know, like a certain movie critic who's Back to the Future's his favorite movie, right?
Yeah.
And I garnered a lot of crap for that for have never seen it.
Yeah, I can picture that happening.
Yeah, and then
you haven't watched Back to the Future? What's your problem?
What?
You are fucking up right now.
Hey.
Okay. Now we've done an impression of this critic, no one knows. Anyway.
Contact us at culturecrashpodcast@gmail.com if you can guess the impression.
We'll give you a pizza slice.
Will you win a pizza slice? No, but like a lot of friends are, it comes up frequently that I haven't seen a lot of movies, and Back to the Future was one of those that just everybody couldn't believe I hadn't seen.
I get that when I tell people I haven't seen The Godfather.
Crystal's face.
Look at that.
Crystal just legitimately did a double take.
My headphones almost flew off. I flipped my head so fast.
The pizza almost flew out of her mouth.
But I know a lot of people who are that way.
About The Godfather?
Yeah. But Back to the Future, I've only recently started to come across this. I have coworkers who have not seen it.
Yeah. Like, I don't understand it. I've noticed a lot of Back to the Future references and like just
yeah, I was gonna say they're all over
they are all over, like you notice it now that I've seen it, like you notice just how much of it you see in everyday life. And it was even playing at the theater, like they're playing at the movie theater for that outrageous, they do these events where they play old movies, you know, mm-hmm. and they charge you outrageously for the tickets.
Would you like to
see all of them?
Yeah Want to see it on the cinema? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, I actually paid money to go see Boondock Saints at one of those things.
Why? I like Boondock Saints, but why?
I don't know. I know. But anyway, so just one day, my boyfriend, he is actually very good at this. He remembers that like there are certain movies that I haven't seen, and if we're just not doing anything one night, he's like, oh, by the way, I downloaded this movie. We're going to watch it. He's pretty good at that. And so one day, we're just sitting around, had nothing to do. He's like, we're going to watch a movie, and he put on Back to the Future. And 80s movies, I feel like I have a hard time watching. I don't know why.
I think we all do, because we're like, really?
Because it is what it is, and we'll get into it in the episode, but the DeLorean says it all.
And it's campy. And I guess back then, campy is not a word you would use to describe it.
Nostalgic.
Not even that. Like this is what this is, and it's amazing. Now it's in like, the future, yeah. We're like, this shit's campy.
Yeah, we're like, it's cheesy as fuck.
But I mean, like
the acting and everything. You're like, that's kind of
cheesy.
It's
absolutely cheesy. Like
I think they knew it was partially campy because I remember they described the '60s Batman like that when it was on the air.
Yeah,
like
okay.
It was straight up camp. So,
but like I also didn't. It's not recent, but I just watched Ghostbusters for the first time this year. Also. I know. And same thing. Like, I struggled to watch Ghostbusters just because maybe just the way the story progresses and how things happen. I don't know. I just struggle with 80s movies. But I finished the first Back to the Future. I fell in love with it.
Damn right.
It was so good. It was so much better than I was anticipating.
As a side note, you don't need to watch Ghostbusters 2.
I don't want to.
Good.
I didn't want to watch the first Ghostbusters.
No, the first Ghostbusters is.
We'll discuss
hard
that
to
in the future
too.
Oh,
send your letters too.
No, don't make me rewatch
we'll
it.
Like requests.
Yeah,
we'll
we are
taking requests. Mm-hmm.
So
what you want
let's
us to talk
get
about.
Into this formally before you start gushing over the love for it.
Yes. So. A lot of my information is directed straight from Wikipedia because it's very informative. The Back to the Future franchise, we will be discussing the franchise.
Yay.
Because I have issues with 2 and 3.
Oh, we'll get into those.
Back to the Future is a science fiction adventure comedy film series directed by Robert Zemeckis, written by Bob Gale and Robert Zemeckis, and distributed by Universal Pictures. Starting with Back to the Future, the films follow the adventures of a high school student, Marty McFly, played by Michael J. Fox, and an eccentric scientist, Dr. Emmett L. Brown, played by Christopher Lloyd, as they use a DeLorean time machine to travel to different periods in history of the Hill Valley, California. Oh no, computer, stop! The first film was the highest grossing film of 1985 and became an international phenomenon, leading to second and third films, which were back-to-back film productions released in 1989 and 1990, respectively. Though the sequels did not perform quite as well at the box office as the first film, the trilogy remains immensely popular after a quarter century and has yielded such spin-offs as an animated television series, as you talked about last episode.
God.
And a motion simulation ride at Universal Studios theme parks in Universal City, California, Orlando, Florida, which is now closed, and Osaka, Japan, as well as Microsoft Windows, Macintosh, iPad, PS3, and Wii video games. The film's visual effects were done by Industrial Light and Magic. The trilogy was nominated for 5 Academy Awards altogether, winning 1 Best Sound Editing.
It's a shame.
That's really?
A shame.
Probably
Best Supporting for, you know, Christopher Lloyd, at least.
I probably should have had this pulled up already, but does anybody know what other nominations they had?
Not off the top of my head, no.
I will find it. Yeah. Oh, there's a nice little cultural.
So you guys are both
thing.
In agreement that this Back to the Future, now would you say the trilogy is all 3 of them are a definite watch?
The trilogy, yes.
You would say the trilogy, you would say...
The first one is a definite watch.
Okay.
I think you can skip 2 and 3.
Okay. And then now we're going to discuss, and you guys are going to
so the
tell
first
us why.
It's on.
It's on. Throw down. It's like a rap battle.
So, okay, let's just gush over number one.
Gush over number one. Absolutely. What's his name? Oh, my God. What is his name?
Crispin Glover?
Yes. Perfect. Oh, my God. So perfect. I love him.
You are my density.
I can't say destiny right now. Like I was texting our friend Danielle at the time when I was watching it, and I'm like, Crispin Glover, oh my God, I love him. And then she quotes, "You are my density." I'm like, did you mean destiny? She's like, oh, you will get it in a little bit.
Oh my gosh, she's like,
text me
oh
back
dear.
In 2 hours.
And I was like, oh, I get it. Oh, you're my destiny too. Do you know what I didn't realize? I thought they had the same. I thought Crispin Glover was in all 3 of them, but he's only in the first one.
Yeah. Same with his. Same with Marty's girlfriend.
I know. Oh, that's Shu.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know she couldn't make it because of scheduling, but Crispin Glover hated his role when he was done.
Really?
Oh,
and
that's
he.
So sad.
And he was. I think the point of it was that he was in it so little in 2 and 3. He was just like, you know, Zemeckis, she can do this without me. Bye.
Yeah.
And the movie's not about you, Crispin Glover.
Have you met them. Crispin Glover?
Have you?
Yes.
Oh, you're a dick.
He had his slideshow movie over at the Tower Theater. You could have gone to that.
Oh, that is true, didn't he? Yeah, that is true.
I've met the man twice. He's interesting, but at the same time, you kind of understand why he was the way he was at the time. Like, I still remember watching a clip of him nearly... face kick Letterman's face.
What?
Go look it up on YouTube, kids.
Oh my God.
He's like talking about how he's a more versatile actor and how he can do things, and he does karate.
Oh my gosh.
And he comes
Why?
Like...
Why do those
he comes
guys?
This close to hitting Letterman in the face with his foot.
Why? Oh my God.
Why is it... It doesn't always seem like those guys always know karate. Like those weirdos.
Because we have to defend ourselves.
But why karate?
Because jiu-jitsu was taken.
Okay.
So, I don't know what the other nominations are, but these are the nominations Back to the Future gained in 1986. It won an Oscar for Best Effects, Sound Effects Editing. It was nominated for Best Music Original Song. You guys want to sing it?
Gonna go back in time. Great, now I can't stop singing.
Thanks, Huey Lewis.
Nominated for an Oscar for Best Sound and nominated for Best Writing Screenplay Written Directly for the Screen.
Nothing for actors. Heathens.
Well, Golden Globes, let's see. Golden Globes, it was nominated for Best Performance by an Actor in a Comedy or Musical. Yeah.
So, yeah.
The important ones.
So the film, for those of you who are Rebecca's age or younger and have not seen this, essentially we see Marty McFly, who is the coolest kid in town.
Immediate question.
Mm.
We first meet Marty McFly, and he goes over to Doc Brown's house, right?
Yeah.
How does he know Doc Brown?
That is not really explained.
Right? Why is he hanging out with Doc Brown?
I have a theory about this.
What's your theory?
That at the end of the movie, when Doc Brown realizes that Marty kind of saves him and is the reason why all this comes together, he has to befriend Marty.
Hmm. Interesting.
So somewhere along the way, I think Doc Brown works.
I'm going to the
Marty's
internet
life.
To see what they say.
But if Marty, but here's also where I get confused. If Marty is the coolest kid in school,
he acts like he's the coolest kid in school. Okay. He's got a hot girlfriend. He can play guitar like none other. He skateboards while holding on to Jeeps.
But he has no friends that aren't creepy old Doc Brown.
Hey, sometimes you're just too cool for the other kids in school.
Too cool for school?
He's got a hot girlfriend. You know what? That didn't come with him being a loser. So I'm sure he has friends. Like, you see them in the third movie.
Right.
Flea from the Chili Peppers.
Right? I'm reading the credits and I'm like, Flea?
What?
From the Red Hot Chili Peppers?
Yeah.
Anyway.
So, he must have friends.
Okay, so here's the, from the co-writer and co-creator.
Mm.
He explains the history of the characters. For years, Marty was told that Doc Brown was dangerous, a crackpot, a lunatic.
Therefore, I must be with him.
So being a red-blooded American teenage boy around 14, he decides just to find out why this guy was so dangerous. So Marty sneaks into Doc's lab and is fascinated by all of the cool stuff. And Doc finds him there.
My jaw's on the floor.
I know, because you... Okay, first off, she hasn't lived our lives. She doesn't know about stranger danger.
Yes, I do. You don't just climb into somebody. Well, and it says, so Doc gives Marty a part-time job to help with experiments.
Oh.
Tend the lab and tend to his dog and et cetera.
Well, they should clarify that in the movie, that he's getting paid to hang out with Doc Brown.
Yeah, yeah.
But he enjoys it.
Yeah.
Yep.
What I'm saying, though, is like, Stranger Danger was a formal program set up by the FBI, and it told you to be wary of people you don't know, but never talked about the people you do know who might want to kidnap you. So they
who are the
up.
Number one kidnapping suspects?
Exactly.
What? What? That's where our tax dollars went?
This is our lives as young kids
in
the
80s. Oh my God, what?
Be glad you lived in the 90s when you were told to be paranoid of everyone.
Yeah, no, they told us to have secret
candy?
Like
this van has candy.
Get in that van.
Guys, that's a Saturday Night Live sketch that was on like 3 weeks ago, and it was the perfect sketch.
So anyway.
Anyway,
so Marty's being paid to hang out with Doc. That's
okay.
Explain.
That's okay.
And Marty, and it says Marty, or not Marty, Doc's excited to meet somebody that actually thinks he's cool. So,
well, wouldn't anybody?
Like, yeah, he's like, will you please?
I'm glad you want to hang out.
Yeah. Hey, kid. I'm glad you
Christopher Lloyd, also perfect.
I quote lines from him all the time. Just when this baby hits 88 miles per hour, you're going to see some serious shit. It's fun just being Doc Brown because it looks like he knows everything, but he's clearly not
a total
professional.
Whack job.
Yeah.
We so have to like cosplay Doc Brown and Marty. Like,
that's what I wanted to do for Halloween.
Yeah, you could totally pull that. Let's do it. Let's do it.
So also, we haven't even gotten like past the first scene, you guys.
I know. Yeah.
So he
Okay. But this is there was also an excellent moment of like not foreshadowing but plot devising was on the news. The TV just happens to be on at Doc Brown's house.
Of course.
And there's a news report about stolen plutonium. You're like, oh, I bet that comes into play somehow.
You don't know that yet until the skateboard hits the thing under the bed. Did you miss that?
What happened?
He kicks his skateboard across the room while you're hearing the plutonium story, and it hits the case that's holding it.
Oh, I missed that. God damn. Anyway.
So this is going to be a fun episode.
Oh, no. So anyway, later, you know, Doc has Marty meet him at the what's it called? The Twin Pines Mall. Twin Pines Mall.
Which is the first little setup that they do to show the effects of time travel.
And Doc demonstrates the time travel capacities by animal cruelty testing.
Because that's what you do.
And sends his dog into the future. The dog comes back. Oh, holy shit. Like, it totally disappears. Awesome.
Einie is great.
Einie?
Einie. It's Einstein.
Let's see. I'm trying to remember what happens because I haven't watched it. Like,
he tells Marty he's going to go, 25, 30 years in the future. He's got a bunch of stuff ready to go. He's like, I forgot my suitcase. What am I going to do without clothing? You know. And right as he gets it, he sees a van with its lights off coming down the street. And it's the in the middle of like 2 or 1 or something in the morning.
Full
of
Libyan terrorists gunning down the dock with like guns.
And a rocket launcher.
Gunning him down with guns. The nerve.
At a small California
strip mall. With a Sears in the background.
And they accidentally shoot Doc Brown.
They straight up gun him down.
Like within the first like 10 minutes of the movie, you're like,
One of the most pivotal characters is now dead. And of course, Marty, in the heat of the moment, you bastards! They fire at him. He jumps in the first thing that he can hide in, and that's the DeLorean.
In a first getaway car, and he, of course, is driving away as fast as he can. And once he hits 88 miles per hour, he's transported back into time.
Yeah, he goes to 1955, the night that Doc Brown realizes the flux capacitor and that time travel is possible.
And he crashes into a barn where, and the little kid is reading an alien. So he crashes into this barn at a family's home out in the middle of nowhere because the strip mall is obviously not built yet. And
old man, what's his name?
Peabody.
Peabody. It used to be all pine trees.
And the whole Peabody family comes out, and of course, Marty is dressed in like this plutonium protective suit thing, and so he looks like an alien. And people of 1955, communists.
Well, yeah,
and aliens.
The DeLorean doors,
the gold wing doors.
Yeah.
Damn, Skippy, those are good.
Really?
They were in the '80s.
They were.
That
in
just
the
seems
80s.
Like a lot of work.
I'm just reminded of that Always Sunny in Philadelphia Christmas episode where Frank has the Lamborghini with the handle
and the door that goes like up and over.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
he's gonna like jump to get it.
DeLoreans are just funny cars.
And so also it should be noted that the clock at the courthouse doesn't work. Oh, I guess we never even talked about Marty's family. So Marty's family is a total like
fuck show.
The mom is fat and a drunk, and Crispin Glover is a deadbeat, and
who loves I Love Lucy,
and the family is just a bunch of down and out losers.
The brother works at McDonald's, I think, product placement, and the sister is slowly turning into the town whore, I guess.
Yeah. And it talks about, you know, how the parents met. Crispin Glover basically fell out of the sky. Or no, Crispin Glover got hit by Grandpa. And it was love ever since, I guess.
It's the Nightingale effect, as they call it. Nurses fall in love with their patients because they're tending care to them.
Right.
So be forewarned, Rebecca. Don't.
Oh God. Don't care for anybody.
Don't care for anybody.
If your dad hits somebody with a car,
because that could happen about 10 years from now.
It could be your son.
God damn you guys. And also it should be noted that the clock in the town square doesn't work, and there's a big lightning storm that broke it, and there's a big petition to try to fix the clock. Anyway, back in 1955, Marty goes and finds his father accidentally at the town diner.
That's right, because what's his name comes in, right?
Biff.
He's like,
Biff.
McFly.
And they
Hello,
both look, yes.
McFly.
McFly.
Biff's character, he's so over the top.
He's so 80s bully.
Yeah.
I guess. Is that what bullies in the 80s were like?
Yeah, they were over the top. They weren't subtle. We didn't have the internet.
I was
going to
say,
on.
Now I only got the internet. Yeah.
Look up two
in
words.
In your face. Wedgies were a real thing.
Yeah.
What?
look up the words Cobra Kai. That's all you need to... You've never seen The Karate Kid?
Nope.
Oh, God.
That's got to be an episode because you got to compare the old and the new.
No, we don't.
I grew up,
you don't have to.
I grew up on an Amish farm, you guys.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
An Amish farm in the middle of Salt Lake City.
Oh, my God. My feet smell. I'm so sorry, you guys.
It's just my apartment.
I'm not going to stink it. Oh.
So he's back in time, runs into who is the mayor, who is also tending at the future mayor. The future mayor tending at the malt shop. He sees the guy who's being a dick to his parents be a dick to his parents in 1955 all over again.
Yep, just to his dad. He's like,
gets hit by his grandpa.
Well, no, so he follows a Crispin Glover to Lorraine's house, his mom's house, where Crispin Glover is in a tree watching Lorraine change.
Peeping Tom.
Which I always find it funny that it's almost like he made an appointment to go do it.
Right? He's like, oh, shit, I'm late, you know?
It's like she changes her clothes at the same time every night.
Right?
He knows.
It's 3:10, I got 5 minutes to be at Lorraine's house.
She's changing for 4-H Club, I gotta
go. Yeah, she's gotta go change her afternoon outfit.
And
like in his notebook of like stories that he's writing, he's got an appointment book of women that he has to go spy on.
Jane down the street's changing in 10 minutes. I gotta make this wrap snappy. This up, please, Lorraine. And so Marty follows him. He falls out of the tree that he's peeping in, and Lorraine's dad coming up. You know, typical story of how he gets hit by the car, but Marty pushes him out of the way and gets hit instead. Therefore, changing the course of history.
Just with their family, apparently.
Right.
That's the funny part, is like, it's the, oh, the Butterfly Effect is a time travel movie in your generation.
Yes, but I'm also aware of the actual theory.
Yes. But yeah.
Not just the movie.
You would think that more than just the three kids vanishing would be changing the future.
Well, because doesn't he also say something to the mayor in the malt shop, too? Doesn't he?
I find that funny, and it's been brought up on crack.com that like he gave the black mayor the idea to run for mayor the same year that the civil rights movement started.
Yeah.
Like, oh, how about that?
What a coincidence, yeah.
Mayor.
He's changing everybody's lives. He could be erasing all kinds of family pictures with his presence being there.
I'm trying to find Cracked. I know Cracked had a whole list about time travel. No, but they had, I remember one of them was why you would not be able to survive time travel. And one of them was actually the air, because our bodies have evolved to inhale all of the toxins and diseases that are in our present day air. If you were to travel back in time, your body is not equipped for that. If you were to travel into the future, your body is not equipped for the toxins in the air that they breathe.
I mean, you have to have a decompression chamber or something in your...
Oh, this is nice. Cracked has a nice little timeline of events.
Oh, perfect.
Oh, timeline of disaster.
But let's not steal everything from Cracked.
No.
But yeah, so he saves his dad from getting peeping tommed. And run over by the truck.
He saves his dad from meeting true love.
and so therefore...
If by true love you mean stalkerish...
well,
isn't that how every
love, it's his...
Isn't that how every relationship starts?
Yeah.
Did you stalk your boyfriend before you became your boyfriend?
No.
Well, then...
He stalked me.
Oh.
I don't know. Maybe.
Creepy.
I don't know. Anyway, so because he got hit by Lorraine's dad, he's, being taken care of now, and she calls him Calvin Klein because Calvin Klein was written on his underwear, because I guess in 1955 you put your name on all your clothes, including your underwear?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, to keep them, straight in gym, because you...
Oh, God, seriously?
I don't know. I didn't go.
No, that is a real thing. Back in the day when there was, one underwear manufacturer...
This is Culture Crash, where basically Rebecca learns about everything.
It's the idea of, that way you identify which jock is yours.
Oh. And so Marty's mom, young hot mom, is now taking care of him.
Hot mom.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
Well, you're a girl, so.
Yeah, I guess. And I like this joke, how in the beginning of the movie, when you first meet the family, they're talking about Uncle Joey, who's in jail again.
Yeah.
And you're meeting, his young uncles and aunts, and Uncle Joey is just a baby in the crib.
And oh my God.
And he loves that crib.
Marty must love Christmas, because he's got all these relatives to buy him presents.
He does have a lot of relatives, huh?
Because there's, what, six kids at the table?
Mm-hmm. And so this whole time while Marty's mom is flirting with him because nobody knows better. And so he runs away and is off to find Doc Brown,
yeah,
the inventor of the flux capacitor, who has not yet invented the flux capacitor.
He drew it.
He's drawn it up, and then Marty tells him exactly, you know, what he needs to get his time travel machine to work. And great Scott.
He runs into him.
1.21 gigawatts.
Gigawatts.
Gigawatts. What? Gigawatts.
Because they didn't know what a gigawatt was at the time.
Right. Let's see. I'm trying to...
The short version of what we just skipped over is that Doc Brown thinks he's full of shit. He comments, he's the sixth person to comment that he's wearing a life vest as a fashion choice.
Yeah, it's true.
That's more 80s there for you.
It's true.
And then he basically convinces him by becoming Mr. Exposition in about 30 seconds and, you know, tells him how time travel is possible. Mm-hmm. And then we figure out, oh, he's got to get back to the future. Well, we can't do that because plutonium isn't sold on every corner drugstore. And how do we do that? So we're going to use the lightning.
Well, wait a minute. Isn't there a big lightning storm in a week?
Yeah.
That's a whole week where you should basically not leave the house, Marty.
But he already did damage. And that's what Doc Brown realizes. He's like,
right.
Trick photography, they cut off your brother's hair.
So, in order to fix the future, Marty has to go make his mother fall in love with his father.
In a week.
In a week?
What the?
What is this madness? So, basically... Through, there's a big dance coming up where Marty's...
Under the sea, wasn't it? Like, under the sea?
Yeah.
Enchantment under the sea.
Enchantment under the sea.
And it's where Marty's mom describes where she first fell in love with Crispin Glover. I can't remember his name.
George.
George. I'm going to call him Crispin Glover.
McFly. And
Crispin Glover McFly. And so Marty tries to persuade George to ask Lorraine to the dance, and he's like, no. And awkward, and Lorraine is like, but I just really want to go with Calvin Klein. And then Biff is also a douche during this whole thing because he really wants Lorraine. This movie's very heavy on the blurred lines. Am I right or am I right?
Well, again, 80s bullies.
No, in 1955, like, they're all about the rape. Yeah.
Did you not know this? There's another thing you need to learn.
Is that true?
Yeah. 1955, it was all about date rape.
Well, because
that's another reason they wrote their names in their underwear.
Date rape is possibly how all of our parents were conceived.
Oh, the disgust on my face right now.
Okay, that's probably not so, entirely true.
So Marty works with Crispin Glover to, like, trick Lorraine into, like, dancing with him. And so... Marty drives Lorraine to the dance, and he tries to make a move on her, but she's like, yeah.
I love how we've skipped over the majority of the story, because it's not really relevant until
it's
you get
really
to the dance.
It's really not.
No, it really, you know, there's a lot of craziness and slapsticky.
Wackiness ensues.
Stuff,
good manure truck stuff, introducing skateboards to kids before they're invented.
Yeah. Like, fun. So... Marty tries to make a move on his mom, and she's like, yeah. And he's like, oh,
no,
God,
no.
No,
she does.
She tries to make a move. My bad.
Yeah.
Because he like
knows.
A good son, chickens out and does not try to make the moves on his mom. And so Crispin, wait, what happens next?
He's out in the car. The plan is that he's going to hit on Lorraine in the car.
Right.
And then he's going to have George come up and defend her honor, and that, you know, he'll be taken away. George loses track of time, and in the process...
Because he's busy dancing.
Yeah. And in the process of all this, Biff sees Marty and has him get the shit kicked out of him.
Oh, and then he gets locked in the car, in the trunk of the band that's playing at the dance.
But essentially, if Marty had not crashed, had not caused Biff to crash his car in the manure truck, he wouldn't have been looking for him in the first place.
Right.
So this sets up this now... new convoluted thing where George is now faced with something he's never had to face before, which is Biff putting a woman that he actually loves and cares for in grave danger. And much like, you know, David and Goliath, the man he's put under pressure and he sees something worth fighting for, man, he just balls up all that angry nerd rage and
angry nerd rage.
That's what it is. He's like, how dare you shove her on her ass?
How dare you shove...
And lays Biff out in a single punch, and he's never done it before, which becomes a plot point later.
Right.
Marty's been locked in a trunk. The hand of one of the guys gets split because they're breaking him out with a screwdriver. Because, by the way, another fun fact, that's how you broke into cars in the 50s.
With a screwdriver?
Yeah. Because keys weren't fully, would you say, as developed as they are now.
They weren't as key-ish.
They weren't as key-ish. That you could essentially jury-rig a car with a screwdriver pretty easily. And two crossed wires.
So because of that, they can't play the song where George and Lorraine dance and have their first kiss and seal the deal, basically.
Teen Angel.
Is that what it is?
It's Teen Angel. I know that because I remember there... Okay, this is off topic, but I think Crystal will appreciate this. Do you remember the Mickey Mouse Club in the 90s?
Vaguely.
They had a side series called Teen Angel, which was an angel in a 50s biker jacket that came down and helped people.
Oh, I think I remember that vaguely. Again, I wasn't a big Disney watcher.
Don't worry, you don't need to be. No. So that's the main reason that song stuck in my head is because it was a popular 50s song they fell in love to.
So Marty steps up to the plate and starts to play the guitar. So because if you remember at the beginning of the movie, he's a total awesome guitar player.
Remember, he blasts himself, right?
Yeah.
In front of Huey Lewis, no less.
Yeah. And so he starts, to play with the band and they're dancing, but then somebody interrupts them and he starts to lose all of his life
and he's
force.
Got this picture that he's been watching
disappearing from the picture and his hand is disappearing, a foreshadowing. There's a lot of Parkinson's jokes that you make right here too, and it's really unfortunate.
What happened? I can't learn to play.
And but then George gets his balls and kisses Lorraine, and then his life force comes back, and then he starts to play some awesome rock music that nobody quite understands.
Which is another, not to drag it to Cracked just for a brief moment, that's another joke that they make, is that Marty gave black people black music back.
Oh.
It's a weird convoluted joke of how...
You're
like,
welcome, black people.
Yeah.
Of how, like...
We had it first.
They made rock music good. We stole it from them. Later in life, we gave it back to them. Like, we admitted, yeah, we took it. Essentially, in the 80s, apparently Marty went back and stole it back and gave it back to them in a single breath.
And I guess you guys aren't ready for that yet, but your kids are gonna love it. Yeah. And then there's that whole scene, and this is where I understood there's a Family Guy joke where they do a Back to the Future episode, and Brian's like, you know that sound you're looking for? Listen to this.
You have no idea how many TV shows that's appeared in.
No, and I get that now you know?
So then they seal the deal.
And Marty says...
But they have to get the DeLorean.
He has to make it to the DeLorean to make it back on time to this jerry rig that Doc has set up to get back to the future. Yeah. So here's also another thing. So Marty says goodbye to his parents, right?
Mm-hmm.
How is it that this also showed up on Family Guy, and it makes a good point.
Yeah.
Lorraine, how come, remember that guy from high school who, just kidding. I cleared it up in my brain because they called him Calvin, and in the Back to the Future sketch on Family Guy, he's like, you remember that guy from high school who looks exactly like that? Your kid looks exactly like that guy from high school, and you were so insistent on naming him after that guy in high school, but then he never goes by Marty. He only goes by Calvin. So that joke, therefore, irrelevant.
I think he says something like, something to the effect of Marty, like, and she goes, Marty, I like that name.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So that's where she got
well,
it from.
Okay. Now
but
that,
I think
now
it's funny that she doesn't recognize her kid.
This is, okay, so this is my thing, too. I get it. It's like, 30 years later in the future, but wouldn't you be like, Marty's kind of grown into, and Biff is still around.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
and why isn't Biff like this asshole?
You look just like that guy that made me, nobody is like recognizing that they look exactly that have the same clothes.
It was 1 week,
and they didn't like Calvin Klein starts becoming popular. They don't realize.
Here's what I would say to that. Do you remember the shirt that you were wearing 12 years ago?
I met my son in the future.
No,
my son came back to save my life.
Yeah, I would recognize him.
But do you know what I'm saying? Like, the theory is that 30 years is a long time. And who at that point in time believes in time travel?
And who would be like, remember the exact features?
Exactly.
Like, he reminds me of that kid.
I'm sure, like, just by guessing the way that they live their lives, I don't know if they're religious at all. But I'm guessing they're like, oh, that's a little reminder of how we got together.
Oh, it's an angel.
A little gay balls.
A fallen angel.
Oh, God.
Wow.
Super. So
we'll skip over the convoluted bullshit that happens trying to get him back to the future.
Jesus Christ. Right? I'm like, seriously, are we really just trying to kill time now? Because
like everything that could go wrong
goes wrong. But of course, it's all
Jesus.
But he gets back, crashes into the XXX movie theater, which makes me smile. The DeLorean dies out. He sees the terrorist drive by. He goes running, gets to Lone Pine Mall. Did you notice that?
Oh, no.
Okay. Stop.
Stop the recording?
No. Don't stop the recording because I want a record of this. Because
the presses.
This is something that I think you need to go back and watch these movies one more time.
And pay more attention, obviously. Because now called Lone Pine because Marty drove through one of the pine trees.
Yes.
Jesus Christ.
There's a lot. He literally, you see the clock that with the Twin Pines Mall logo when he pulls up on a skateboard at the first part.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second part, he's like looking over and seeing Doc Brown get shot when he gets back. The sign changes from Twin Pine to Lone Pine.
Oh.
Because he ran over one of the trees.
Oh. Well, anyway, it's too late because Doc been shot.
Mm-hmm. It should be pointed out that beforehand, Doc tore up a letter that Marty wrote to him saying, you're going to get killed the night that I go back.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Mm-hmm. So.
So Doc gets shot. Marty runs up to him like, oh, my God. Actually, it's all good.
Bulletproof vest?
Yeah. Doc was wearing a bulletproof vest. He's not stupid.
But he had issues with the time continuum. And I think at that point, he realized one of the points that I'm going to make, which is going to trump some of your arguments, is that the minute he went back in time, he already went into a different timeline because he's breathing air and occupying space they shouldn't have in the first place. His mere presence changes whatever future he goes back to, if altered just slightly.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure at some point Doc Brown thought about that to himself, and that's where he got the idea of, oh, I got to thinking, what the hell?
Well, no, because the doc taped up the letter.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying is he spent this entire part of the thing with Back to the Future and fixing the parents and everything. He was like saying we can't mess with the timeline any more than we already have. Could have irreparable damages, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he tears up the letter that Marty writes him saying, you know, we can't do this, you know. At some point he had to have that theory and just be like, yeah, let's just tape it up. Fuck it. We've already destroyed everything anyway.
Interesting.
A lot of time to think about it.
So, because of all the damage that Marty did in the past, it worked out pretty well for them in the future. Because Crispin Glover, who did write science fiction stuff, actually is now a successful author, and the family is no longer deadbeats and ugly and losers.
Well, the sister's now
Well, the
fat.
Sister the sister was always fat. Like, I never understood that.
I thought she got fatter.
Oh, I thought like she was already fatter. Fat. I mean, whatever, women are beautiful.
she was plus size. Don't call her
And
fat.
Biff, who was still bullying Crispin Glover in old 1985, is now working for Crispin Glover in new 1985.
That's the small part that I can't buy. I mean, when you're a fucking jerk, what changes you 30 years later to become an errand boy?
Right?
One punch in the face.
Really destroyed his dignity.
Now, Biff, remember, I can deck you. I don't think that would last 30 years.
And they're
probably go work out and come back.
And they're very open to, you know, Marty spending the weekends with his girlfriend, and he's got this fancy truck,
brand
it's
new.
It's young love.
Truck. Everything is awesome, except the DeLorean pulls up into the driveway again, and the doc rolls out of it in weird 2015.
2015.
You're all 19. Clothes. My bad. 2015 clothes and these weird Lady Gaga glasses, and the DeLorean is run off of like compost.
And he's like, you got to come back, right?
He's like, we got to go to the future, Marty. Your kids are in trouble. And girlfriend, what's her name? Jennifer. She's like, what? Our kids? And they all climb into the DeLorean. And Marty's like, you know, the road's not long enough to reach 88 miles per hour. And Doc's like, roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads. Or something like that.
Yep,
and they fly off, and they fly off into the hover DeLorean.
Gonna go back in time.
And then it leads into, you know, the two movies that I think you can do without.
And so, that we can wrap up really quickly, right?
Literally, in the second one, nothing gets accomplished.
No, something gets accomplished.
Absolutely nothing.
Doc Brown gets sent back into the Old West.
I told you, the second one accomplishes absolutely nothing.
Except for hoverboards.
No,
right?
No.
Except for hoverboards.
Let's delve into this. Because first off, Zemeckis, I think, shot himself in the foot by putting "to be continued" at the end of the first one when they went into the future. Like, he could have ended it right there and let people take off with their imagination. But no, he actually had to write the words "to be continued." So he set himself up for a sequel before he probably even knew what the sequel was going to be, because it took them 4 years.
So I'm trying to think, like, "to be continued" was a big thing. I remember even on some television series, it would say "to be continued." When did "to be continued" stop? Like, now it's just implied. We know we're going to get a new episode the next week.
That's what we were kind of discussing the last episode. Now it's episodic television. Like, you know that there's something's going to happen, and it's never going to end until they tell you it's going to end.
Mm-hmm. Unless you do get, you know, your shows that are more bottleneck episodes. Like, you know, a lot of, like, your Community episodes that are just individual episodes.
Yeah.
And if they do a two-parter, it will say, like, part two or to be continued on a special two-parter episode. But most of the time, for episodic television, it's just implied.
And movies as well.
I mean,
like, if a movie does well, basically now, you can just assume it's going to be continued.
Yeah.
I don't, like, maybe they should just put "to be continued" at the end of every Marvel movie.
With a question mark.
They do, though.
They basically
do that at the end of Iron Man 3. Tony Stark will return. And that's all it says. Tony Stark will return. Yeah.
Which of my theory is... why are we getting...
That's a whole separate theory.
Okay, so now we're...
We're number two.
We're going to save Marty's children.
Here's the thing.
Please defend to me number two, because...
I'm going to defend number two to a degree, because here's the thing. Growing up on this, this was my favorite.
Really?
No, this was my favorite too. Well, because Back to the Future, that's the movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I actually went and saw the trilogy at the drive-in, so.
Oh.
It was really fun. I know, it was way fun. No, it's not ooh, like that kind of. It was a group of us.
Oh.
It was, yeah. No.
It was a party.
It was a party.
I mean,
family friendly.
Two for me is neat to see how they play with time.
That's exactly what it's for. It's more of the, this is how you can really time travel, and this is how you can really fuck up time travel.
And they do. Indeed they do.
First off, it's the idea that Marty has already fucked up his life, and now Doc Brown, not wanting to tamper with it any more than he already has decided to leave Marty alone, and now he's just trying to fix his kids.
Which, why would you just jump that far ahead if you already know the downfall to Marty's, like, Marty's downfall, which is he crashes a car, ruins his hand, and therefore ruins his music career?
I think the thing with Doc Brown at this point is Marty already went into the past, changed his parents' lives, which inevitably changed his own life.
Mm-hmm.
He should be in charge of doing what he needs to do with his life. But future Marty apparently is too much of a fuck-up, as we see, to fix his kids' lives.
Okay.
Which are all played by Michael J. Fox.
So they travel to the future to go... Because Michael J. Fox is... Well, hold on. Marty Jr. gets involved with future Biff Bully.
Those two families can't escape each other.
In which, by the way, 2015 ruled by Kesha impersonators. and gets involved with like a robbery with future Biff Bully, and he gets sent to jail, basically.
Yeah.
And then they fix it, and I don't remember how they fix it.
The plan was just tell Biff that you're out, and he had confidence that Marty could pull it off and get out of there because Marty had more balls than his son.
Mm-hmm.
Because you see that he, like, when he gets thrown over the table, he's like, this kid's a loser, you know? But when he stands up to Biff, he gets into shit.
Oh, it's Griff.
Griff.
By the way.
Hey, joy.
Who is over the top and I cannot even begin to handle it.
Are you in or out? Anyway. Picks a fight, doesn't realize that essentially Griff is, I guess, part robotic. Because he has he gains 6 inches for some reason.
Oh, those are just the shoes.
I thought he had leg
2015
implants.
We're getting Insta platforms.
We're getting stilts in the bottom of our shoes.
So I hope that means you guys will stop wearing heels.
No. What? Oh. No.
Yeah. I know. That's a discussion for the future.
Really? Why? Do you have a thing against women wearing heels?
They look like the most torturous things ever, and really all they do is bring your boobs and ass 2 inches higher to my eyesight.
And that's a bad thing?
I don't mind it,
but I can't imagine you wanting to
some
walk around.
Some heels are actually fairly comfortable.
Heels aren't built for comfort.
No.
No kidding. No kidding.
For
you don't like standing on a 1-inch round.
Some of them are not for standing at all. They're never, sit down, lay down shoes.
Nevertheless.
Yeah, nevertheless. We're at the stilts.
But anyway, so hops on a hoverboard. Which is a great scene. But more to the fact that we're seeing the future for what it is, and it's kind of what it is. Like,
they're in Cafe 80s.
They are in
Cafe 80s. A novelty diner themed like the 80s. So Marty is like all about the duck shooting game, and baby Elijah Wood's like, whatever, bro.
But okay, let me point something out to you in my own home. What's that over there? It's a game system that can play NES and SNES games, okay? Aww. It is a current thing that is made today. We are already on our way to living in that kind of world where they just make a cafe, which is totally based off of a decade. We have that 70s show in reruns.
I was going to say, that arcade exists. It's on Highland Drive. Have you not been to it?
Yes, I know what you're talking about, but let's not mention it by name because they're not paying for sponsorship yet.
Just, I never said names.
All right. But you know what I'm saying? Like, it's a thing of showing us where we're headed. The car that's $25,999.95, right? How much are you paying in cars right about now?
I don't want to talk about them.
Huh?
Well, I didn't pay much for my car.
But for a brand new car, what's the going rate? We're getting pretty...
Easy. Like 40s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, like some more expensive ones. Yeah, 30, 40.
The Cubs... winning a World Series against Miami. We got a team down in Florida. It's not too hard to think that maybe just a little bit of trickery. To me, it's kind of like, yeah, we don't have the self-lacing shoes. Yeah, we don't have the hoverboard.
Yeah, but the self-drying clothes.
Yeah, why do hoverboards seem so far away? Then?
But for points, except for the giant laser discs that make up garbage in the future.
Oh, the 3D movie theater.
With Jaws, whatever.
Yeah.
Jaws like 300.
Although I bet you I'm gonna mark it on my invisible watch on my hand in the next 5 years. I bet you we see a Jaws remake.
Oh, I don't doubt it.
But yeah, they pretty much nailed what a lot
1989. Totally nailed.
What a lot of our future looks. What a lot of our future looks or could look like, with the exception of missing iPhones and hover cars.
And leotards.
Wearing two neckties.
Leotards are coming back. They're at Target now. Have you seen them?
The bodysuits?
Yeah.
Uh-huh,
you can buy the bodysuits.
Bodysuits are a horrible idea.
Anyway.
So, yeah. But for me as a fantasy lover, a sci-fi lover, I enjoyed that.
Okay.
I like the home that opens up with the thumbprint and the dehydrated pizza and the, like, as weird as it sounds, because I'm sure it'll be in vegans' homes in the future, the portable garden that comes down from the ceiling filled with grapes and fruits and whatnot. You know what I mean? Like, it is a telltale sign of consumerism in the future.
And all that is great and fantastical. It's The
You have a problem with the story.
I have a problem with the story.
Or lack of story.
No, there's a story. It's a fucking stupid story.
It's like it was a sixth grade writing assignment and they okay. turned it into a movie.
Are you talking about everything stupid? As a whole, or are you talking about the main plot line that starts around
the main plot line in
halfway
which,
in the future.
In which Marty buys an almanac from the future to take back with him to the past. And Doc is like, no. Don't do that. Because like that's not fair. And so he throws it away. Oh my God. See, here's
80-year-old Biff sees it.
80-year-old Biff sees it because he's been following the Doc and Marty because he recognizes Marty.
Yeah.
Which, why you don't recognize him in...
I think he recognized him as Marty Jr. That's the thing. It wasn't until he saw Doc Brown that he was just like...
That's weird.
Oh, the DeLorean. He recognized the DeLorean. Like, he hasn't seen one of those in 30 years.
Okay. So he sees them throw this almanac away. So he snatches it up. Follows Marty and the Doc to old Hill Valley... Or what's the name of their neighborhood?
Hilldale.
Which is now run down. Oh, no. I'm getting ahead of myself.
Because they're no longer in Lion Estates.
Right. So he follows them, gets in the DeLorean... And travels back to 1955 and gives his older self this almanac and says...
Younger self.
Younger. My bad. I'm getting...
1955, older, younger. Yeah.
Yeah. Gives his younger self this almanac and basically, you know, tells him, you know...
You can make money
off of this. You can make money off of this. And then goes back to 2015. Marty and the Doc get back on the DeLorean. Everything is fine that they've fixed. They fixed Marty's kids, but, you know, Marty notices that he's kind of a loser and his family's... Crispin Glover, actually, is stuck in an inversion
It's
tube.
Jennifer, actually, because they take her into the past.
And she passes out because she can't handle it. And,
Well, they put her to sleep first. The cops take her to her home.
They identify her by her thumbprint, which I think that's an awesome thing. We should have that now.
That's, yeah. Like I said, we're getting close because you're locking your phone with your thumb now.
And because, you know, your thumbprint never changes, they identify her as Jennifer McFly and take her back to, you know, to her future house.
Yeah.
And she winds up there and it's a whole lot of like Benny Hill trying to avoid
the many faces of Michael J. Fox.
Anyway, and so they go back to get Jennifer. Everything is good, right? Right? Everything's good? They fixed everything?
They fixed everything with Marty's kid, but then Jennifer sees the house that they live in, the way that Marty's parents have gotten, I'm sure to some degree, the fact that her parents are nowhere to be found.
Right.
And then it's the point that she notices where Michael J. Fox gets tricked by Flea from the Chili Peppers into committing some kind of company fraud.
Oh, and then he immediately gets fired.
He, read my fax. Okay, that's the one. That's the one fuck up from the future.
Right, with no faxes.
And she gets the piece of paper that says you're fired. It tells that the entire family's been fired, right? Mm-hmm. And to try and calm himself down, he tries to play guitar, and you can hear how fucked up he can't
you know,
play anymore.
Because of the Parkinson's.
So are you going to keep this up the whole
episode? So tasteless.
So yeah, so you get these plot points that something's awry, and something needs to be fixed, and Jennifer actually has concern for it. And then she sees her future self and passes out. Doc Brown saves her. All while this is happening, and Marty being the dumbass little shit that he is, followed the dog that's being walked by itself
into a bad neighborhood, right?
Yeah.
Or is that back in 1985?
85 Lion Estates was the bad neighborhood. They call Hilldale the bad neighborhood in the future,
mm-hmm. Oh,
even
okay.
though it doesn't look that bad.
Yeah,
but
I don't know. There's like drive-bys.
But apparently, during that time, Biff finds the DeLorean, figures out how to fly it, which is the part that I don't buy.
Old man Biff, flying machines, he doesn't know nothing about.
Takes it to the past, comes back a few moments after he goes into the past, drops the car off, and then fucks with the future. essentially.
Yeah. So they go back to the past, right?
Yeah, so they go back, and Hill Valley is dilapidated, crime-infested, corrupt hell on Earth, with the courthouse now turned into a casino hotel!
Yet they couldn't fix the fucking clock.
No, just build a hotel!
Yeah.
Just build a casino! And Marty's mom, who has apparently left George and got a boob job and is now Biff's trophy wife, and it's all very Vegas-y.
She didn't really leave George.
No. Marriage rape. Is that a thing?
Back in those days, it was.
Just
back in the
70s. Forced you to leave your husband and marry me. Like, is that a thing?
Yeah, sure.
She didn't really force her to leave him. We'll get to that in a moment. Essentially, though, Hill Valley has gone to shit.
Yep.
Under Biff's
obviously,
rule.
Obviously, something has changed.
Yes.
Yeah. It's not the way they left it.
Doc Brown figures it out. Marty goes and visits his dad's grave.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get what I think is one of the best explanations about time travel that you possibly can get from anyone, because Doc Brown explains it pretty succinctly in, like, what, 5-6 lines as to what anyone studying temporal mechanics, it would take them a lifetime to figure out. He's just like, here's our timeline. Now, the minute you fuck with our timeline, it creates an alternate timeline. And that's where we're at. We have to go find the point in the past where the timeline got fucked and unfuck it.
In so many words. Yeah.
Paraphrasing.
But essentially what happened is Biff killed George McFly.
Mm.
And that left Lorraine a widow. And of course, where's Lorraine going to go?
Because there's no other guys.
Yeah, there's
no other guys in Hill Valley.
No other guys as rich as Biff, except his cronies.
And so, but it's during this time Marty learns about the almanac.
Yeah.
And, he learns all about it. And this is where he realizes that the timeline got fucked. Quote. End quote.
And the most important thing, which is the thing you have to take from this movie, is that it was all Marty's fault. If he hadn't bought the book and Biff hadn't seen him, like, toss it out and all that, none of this would have happened.
Basically undoing everything he went back to 1955 to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, he just undid the whole first movie.
See? That's why. That's where I get so mad.
Now I will concede to a degree, that's where I get annoyed with Zemeckis, because now I'm rewatching a good portion of the last movie all over again.
It's kind of neat because it is from new camera angles, and you see different things that were going on. But like, I saw this movie,
Yeah.
You're just seeing the weird. Oh, by the way, the three guys on the side of the stage were just hanging out until the end of the song.
Also, notice that they just left Jennifer in a shitty neighborhood.
Yeah.
Well, she had passed out, and she'll be out for a while.
Yeah, so let's leave her in this sketchy neighborhood.
They didn't know
unconscious.
They didn't know it was sketchy at the time.
There was a drive-by, and people with guns.
That was the description.
Hell on Earth, dilapidated.
That was the principal's house, though.
It's safe.
The principal will take care of it.
You don't know.
He had, like,
okay, look, this is what's written on Wikipedia. That's not what it says in the movie. It doesn't say Hill Valley's now hell on Earth.
It doesn't need to say that. It is demonstrated quite clearly set design.
I'm sorry, but there's still planes flying overhead without being shot down, and half the town isn't on fire. It's somewhat, workable.
Mid-level hell on Earth.
Yeah.
Like, of Dante's levels, it's more like a 2.
Yeah.
Okay. Guys are stupid.
So you're, back to
no,
1950,
you're
but no, you're stupid. You're not doing it right.
You're not talking about time travel the
time
way I want
travel.
To.
Time travel? No, you're doing it wrong.
So he asks him, sees one of the best movies that I have on my shelf, A Fistful of Dollars, where he uses essentially a bulletproof vest. Foreshadowing. There's a couple of things of foreshadowing in here. When they talk about his great-great-grandfather in the Old West, and Doc Brown talking about how he wishes he was in the Old West and how he just happens to have money from the 1800s or 1880s. There's a lot of little points in here that you miss.
Like, thank God that this was filmed back to back.
So he tells him, they pull the "a wizard did it" moment where Doc Brown just says, "Who could have ever guessed you would have picked that moment in time to go back? The odds are just astonishing. It could be a coincidence or whatever." You know, just like, let's wrap this in a bow, because I'm sure down the road the internet will be invented and people will be bitching and moaning that we're going back to the very same date. So we get a new look at 1955, following Biff around and his shitty life and how he treats kids and his friends.
Biff the bully.
Yeah,
Biff the bully. Biff the pass bully.
With a pretty good looking shirt, I might add. I want that black and red shirt he has. Old self gives new self or younger self the book. And then we can skip a lot of it, because just like in number one, when they're trying to get him back to the future, in number two, it's a really convoluted set of events to make sure that Marty doesn't run into himself and gets the book back and doesn't fuck anything else up in the past.
Again.
Seriously,
not accomplishing anything.
Leading to another wreck into a manure truck.
Yeah.
So then they go and they burn the book. Marty's dad is saved, which is the weirdest thing that I think in this entire trilogy, is that the newspaper doesn't just change. It doesn't like change to a completely different story like you would think it would.
Oh, no, like, just the headline.
Just the headline. just the headline and the photo. Like, Doc Brown is in a straitjacket, and then all of a sudden you see him shaking hands with somebody.
Still in the news, but
it's just like, different. Hey, great job, Doc Brown. What the fuck were you commended for? I can't quite read the text as it's changing.
Oh, it's the lorem ipsum filler text.
Tells him, hey, great job, and you know, gonna swing back for another pass and the whatnot, get struck by the lightning. And then you have the Western Union guy who... Great joke there, because they really were like that. They would hold on to letters for decades.
Well, so Doc trying to, you know, set the DeLorean back up to go back to the future, the time dealy accidentally gets set to 1885 and not 1995.
Well, the device is fucking up in front of him and he keeps smacking it.
Yeah, and I don't remember why Marty's not in the DeLorean.
He... put Marty on the ground, I think, to set the thing on fire, just to get rid of it. Mm. I don't know. The theory in the back of my head, which is no definite explanation, is anything that happens in the DeLorean is subject to still being, like, being able to fuck with time, right? Mm-hmm. You burn the book in a solid location that's not going to be time travel messed with, then you're really destroying it. But if you destroy it in the time machine, I guess, it, you know, mm-hmm. there's still the chance
it could still exist out there.
Yeah, exactly. So right. That's just my own theory to it. I haven't read anything.
So Marty's basically stranded in 1955.
Again.
Oh, fucking. And
making out with his mom.
When is there going to be another lightning storm? Because they're already in the middle of the huge storm. And this Western Union guy comes up.
But that's what Doc Brown basically does. It's the MacGuffin for this particular film. Gives him a letter explaining everything nice and concisely.
It says, don't come get me.
Don't come get me. Just get yourself
get to
home
1985.
And don't touch anything. Destroy this thing. Mm-hmm. But Marty...
I actually do love this part in the movie where, so back in the town square after the lightning strike and the DeLorean's gone back to 1985 from the original time, and Doc Brown's like, oh shit, that was amazing. Marty in a new outfit comes bawling around the corner like, hey,
Doc,
but I just sent you back to the future.
I'm back, Doc. Back from the future.
That was really cool, but also at the same time, I did like the biggest face palm.
Great Scott!
And then he passes out, like you do.
Okay, so why do you hate number two so adamantly?
It accomplishes nothing!
But that's not the point. The point is, it's an adventure.
I know!
So what if the adventure sets you back to square one? Sometimes that's what happens in adventures.
That's what happens in life, Gavin.
No, not really.
Sometimes.
Would you like to give an example?
No. I feel like the movie accomplishes nothing except set up a Western film.
That's true. But at the same time, it's a lot of fun. At least for me, it was a lot of fun.
Okay, then yes, it's a bottleneck movie.
Yeah.
It's just about the gimmick of the future. Yeah. It was like a future gimmicky show.
I guess because I knew that the third one was directly tied to the second one, I think that's what bothers me the most, is because I'm expecting a setup for, and it does. It does nothing but set up for the Western movie, but at the same time, we've gone and we fucked up the original first movie.
But everything's back to normal.
But why?
For 2 hours of entertainment.
To show you the perils of time travel and why you shouldn't mess with things.
It's just so frustrating, time travel.
I guess. Whatever. Do we even need to talk about the third one? Because
no. Yes. Yes, we do. Because you already said...
I don't know what we need to talk about?
The animated series, which we will eventually get to in a second for brief moments. But, you know...
I don't know why. Why?
So, okay, do you like or hate number three?
I'm so indifferent about number three.
Define indifferent for you.
You could care less about
it? I could totally care less.
So you could just do without this one.
I mean, I like how it actually, because number two did leave me with a lot of unanswered questions. Because future Marty, like 2015 Marty, is obviously still fired. Still a deadbeat,
mm-hmm.
Not a rock star. And they talk about, you know, this accident, and they never touch on it, right?
Yeah.
So that left me with a lot of unanswered questions. It's all actually resolved in number three, which I really liked. I really liked that continuity because, you know, at the end of number three, they show the potential accident that Marty was in, and he chooses not to race Flea. And
which, by the way, small side note, aside from Flea, if you look at the truck, the three other guys that are with Flea, each one of them came from the three movies. So one of old Biff's 50s gang is in there.
Oh, really?
One of Griff's future gang members is in there.
Oh.
And one of the cowboys that hangs out with the cowboy Griff.
Oh.
Or cowboy Biff is
it's
in
like
there.
A Wizard of Oz moment.
Yeah.
You were there.
And Flea, you were there too.
Don't be silly.
So really what it is, I mean, this third movie, what keeps on getting him hit in trouble is they keep on calling him Chicken, right?
Yeah. Essentially the...
Everybody keeps saying, what are you, Chicken?
They both kind of come to a head of...
What'd you call me?
Yeah, they both come to a head of their issues, because Doc has constantly been this crazy old man who's always put science ahead of everything and his love for fiction and whatnot, and he finds love.
Mary Steenburgen.
Yeah.
Aww.
A fucking good actress.
She was terrible in this, though. Oh, my God. Because she was just typical damsel in distress. I don't like this movie at all.
Clara!
In the future, the name of the canyon does get changed because she obviously doesn't die in the canyon and it's named after her.
Yeah.
So
it was Shohan Ravine. Got named to Clayton Ravine because Marty, for some reason, barely remembered that they used to name the canyon after the dead teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And then it got changed to Eastwood Ravine, right?
Is
it Eastwood? Because
he
Clint
goes
Eastwood?
Back in time as Clint Eastwood.
And he pulls a fistful of dollars where he uses the front of a stove to save himself.
Yeah.
I'm going to defend this one. If you knew that nobody else knew that and you could pull that trick, fuck yeah, I'd do it.
Go to the Western movie anyways.
Why are we here?
Because like you said, it gives us some fun future little gimmicky things.
The only thing
fun.
I like about it is, like I said, they resolve everything. It's really awesome, the continuity that they keep. That's the only thing I liked about it. And the end, when they show up in the flying train, and he's like, these are my children, Jules and Vern, and the kids are just like, ugh, we're on another time travel trip again.
So just to cut Dad in one of
his wild hairs.
Before we get to the end, which is nice and sweet, let's just slightly cover the middle ground of the Western.
What is there to cover? Yeah.
Marty gets the DeLorean again. It's hidden in a cave.
Really?
They're going to go, just bear with me.
Okay.
I'll tie this up in about 2 minutes. They're going to get Marty the hell out of there until he notices a grave with Doc Brown's name on it. They go searching around in the old things. And Marty, having love for Doc, who's helped him out so many times, he's going to do one for him. He's going to save Doc this time. Foolishly goes back in time to the Old West. Runs into Indians, runs into cowboys, runs into sarsaparilla.
A bear in the middle of the desert.
Hey, bears were in the desert. Runs into another version of his family wearing a boulder hat.
I do like that version of Michael J. Fox, though. Irish Michael J. Fox.
We gotta hurt a lot of here.
Old-timey Irish.
what's the old-timey Biff's name?
It's Buford Cliff. Buford Mad Dog Tannen.
Buford Mad Dog Tannen.
Cliff.
The teacher gets saved because, you know, they're in the wrong place at the wrong time. They figure out that they're going to use the train to push the DeLorean.
Oh my God. Fucking scene.
The whole train scene just drags on forever, doesn't it?
What? Emmett!
Clara!
Emmett! And he can't hear her because of the fucking train.
Marty, you know? It's Clara! She's back!
Emmett! Oh no! Oh! Hanging
on by her ankle. Doc Brown.
Hoverboard. Hoverboard to the rescue.
Yeah, could
this whole fucking scene. I can't.
I wish I could have been watching with you. You're just like,
I really wish you could have. I was.
Were you screaming at the TV? Were you
Rebecca?
Like, I'm like, just let her die.
You're like, push her off the fucking train.
Rebecca, name the railroad after her.
God, wasn't it good? Wasn't it good that the second? Wasn't it good that they went to the second movie? Because if they had, they would have the board to save for the third movie.
See? Good thing that second movie happened. They did accomplish something.
If they didn't go into the future in the first place, they wouldn't have needed to go to 1885.
Well, now you're just being silly.
I'm just being silly. Go on, please.
Defend this, because...
Doc ultimately dies because he owes Buford, like, what, $80?
$80 because he was shooing a horse while Biff was on top of him.
Just fucking pay him the $80.
No. Fuck Buford Tannen.
But if he knows he's going to die...
Well, he didn't know it then. He knew it after the fact.
I know, but now he's there, and he knows he owes Buford Tannen $80. Otherwise, he'll get shot.
Which is why they built the damn train to get him to the future. It's a little late for that. He already made a death threat on him. Don't you know how the Old West works?
I don't. I wasn't there, Gavin.
Do they write their name on their underwear? The Old West? Is that a thing?
Back then, they didn't have underwear.
What's the date rape situation?
Yeah, I was going to say, what's the date rape situation?
If you can keep her, you get a keeper.
Sad.
It was more of a property deal.
Anyway, there was a lot of junk in this movie, including ZZ Top being the band that plays at the dance.
It's perfect.
That's the part that really always takes me out of the movie. I like that song, that... But I hate the part where they spin the guitars and the drum. And
no, it's perfect! It's perfect!
Oh, look, we found something she likes about the West.
ZZ Top!
They should be in all the Western films.
They defeat Buford, make the train go. Marty,
make the train go.
Marty.
Emmett, wait! I can't, this dumb bitch. Seriously.
Clara.
Yes,
Clara.
Oh, God.
Marty goes back to the sparkly future because for some reason, now that it's got all these new transistors on the top, makes it look like they're in the gay pride parade when they go through.
And he makes a lot of good choices. You're fired fades away from the paper.
Which is the thing.
From the facts.
There's an article out there somewhere that basically the end of Back to the Future gave people free choice. Because at that point, Doc says, Well, the future was set in stone. Now
I was going to say, so it's not a determinism movie?
Yeah. Now you can make your future whatever you want it to be.
Oh, blasphemy!
Doc Brown. See, number two and three were necessary because Doc Brown and Marty give the rest of us free will. Boom.
I dropped the mic.
Like with the music they take from God, the free will, go through time and then give it back to
See,
I like it.
See, two and three were necessary, Rebecca. Two and three were necessary. Just say it with me.
No. So they're unnecessary.
They're unnecessary, but they're fun.
Sure. I did not have fun with the third one.
I'm sorry that you're an enemy of fun.
You know what? Speaking of which,
you know, give her a break. She came from an Amish childhood.
I did come from an Amish.
She's come a long way.
From, you know that farm that he crashes into in 1955?
That was like yours.
That's my farm.
She got here on horse and buggy.
You came from the Amish family where your dad still writes for the town choir.
For the town bugle.
And your mom is slaving away in the kitchen.
What? Probably not. That's
no,
not how it works.
No. Wait, no.
So I have just a brief list that I'll just touch on quickly about different plot holes and paradoxes of Back to the Future.
This will be fun.
The first one, George and Lorraine would recognize their son, but we actually already discussed that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There are two DeLoreans in 1885. The original DeLorean that Doc Brown came in.
Yeah.
And the one that Marty travels in.
Yeah.
So there are two DeLoreans mm-hmm. in 1885.
And what's the paradox?
Let's see.
No one ever said two
because
DeLoreans.
Because they're trying to fix the one.
Yeah.
Why can't they use parts from the other one?
Well, that's the thing. You have to leave the one intact for Marty to use to go back to the future in. That was the point of locking it up in a cave where no one would find it. If you tamper with that DeLorean, then you are inhibiting the Marty that will eventually dig it out of the cave
from
traveling.
That's the argument in this paragraph. Of course, there are arguments why the car can't be touched. Firstly, there's the old paradox rule that it would destroy the universe. Although by the third film, the Doc is getting far more liberal with the laws of time.
Well, and if the two DeLoreans saw each other, wouldn't that they would be like mind blown. They would be like,
one DeLorean would pass out.
Yeah, it would be a whole mess.
One DeLorean's oil tank would just fall out.
Their engine would just explode.
And secondly, if the alternative car was used, then Marty, are you following this, wouldn't have been able to get back to 1885 in the first place, because if it was fundamentally tampered with or used, that would make it either redundant or non-existent in 1955, which would, of course, create a paradox to bring down the universe, as you well know.
There you go.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah.
You answered your own question there. Good job.
I didn't. This article did. Couldn't the Doc make gasoline? In 1885, the big problem Marty and the Doc face is that they can't get a hold of gasoline. However, the Doc at this stage has the knowledge of how he made the time machine, and he's also managed to put together a nifty contraption to make an ice cube. Couldn't he, in theory, track down where kerosene, which was available in 1885, was being refined and make some gasoline from the byproduct of that process?
He wasn't a chemist. He was an electrician.
Jesus Christ, Gavin.
Did you want an answer? Or did you want to be like, oh, look, feather in the hat?
Could the Doc leave a longer note? Once the Doc discovered that the time machine Marty brought back to 1885 was damaged, couldn't he have changed the note that he left with the Western Union to simply request that Marty brought a bit of fuel and a few parts with him?
In theory, but he wrote the letter. Like, Marty arrived a week after Doc sent the letter off. So essentially, when Doc goes to drop off the letter and they dig out the time machine, they discover that he shot 1 week after he wrote the letter. So Doc sets it up so that, you know, Marty goes a day after the letter has been written.
Well, I guess doesn't...
The thing is that he can't get the letter back. He already sent it to Western Union.
Well, no, but also doesn't the Doc also say in the letter, don't come for me?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he told that to Marty. He didn't tell it to himself.
Why does Jennifer look shocked when she meets herself in 2015? Again, it's picky, but there's a point in Back to the Future Part 2 when older Jennifer meets younger Jennifer. Yet surely older Jennifer would know that younger Jennifer was in the house, and surely, therefore, she would be expecting her to be. I disagree because of the alternate timeline.
Exactly.
Yeah. So older Jennifer would not have any idea that this happened because her life already happened, and there's an yeah.
It was just a dream, right, Marty?
Yes, we left you on a rape porch.
Okay, first off, they leave her on a porch. We're going to go back to this for a second. They leave her on a porch.
In a sketchy neighborhood.
He didn't know it was sketchy at the time.
And you don't just leave a girl on a porch.
Apparently you did in 1985.
Common courtesy dictates that you don't just leave a passed out girl on a porch.
It was 2 a.m. He had to be home.
Oh my God. It was 1985. What are you going to do?
I'm not defending Marty. I'm just explaining.
Stranger danger!
I'm just explaining what happened in Marty's head. I'm not defending Marty for doing it. I'm just telling you.
Same, Marty makes a lot of stupid decisions.
Yes, he does. Should we go back to the first one? Because he did make the decision of shoving his dad out of the way of the car, creating a week of hell for himself. Okay.
You cannot have a debate with time travel. You cannot have a debate about time travel with anybody.
Yeah, you can.
No, you cannot.
We're having one right now.
Everybody loses.
I love that. Have you seen that protest? And it says, what do we want? Time travel? When do we want it? It's irrelevant.
Why steal the almanac back in 1955? The time constraints that Marty and the doc put themselves under sometimes do make mockery of the fact that they have a time machine at their disposal. Why then do they try to get the almanac at the point where it's given to Biff? Given that he doesn't place any bets nor presumably appreciate its value for several years afterward, why not go back to 1956 or 57, perhaps when he's at school or work shouting at people in the street, and take it then? There's a solid counter argument here. The point in 1955 they go back to is the only one where the Doc and Marty know exactly where the book will be, namely at the point old Biff gives it to new Biff. Also, Biff is specifically told to put it in a safe somewhere, and assuming, let's give him the benefit of the doubt here, that he does so, and so that's going to make it tricky to get. Although, for the Doc, you'd suspect not impossible. And lastly, just call Marty Chicken at key moments.
My argument to that would be that they've already fucked up the timeline so much that, at this point.
Why not? That's the argument for the whole fucking trilogy.
let's take it now and not wait another 2 years to put ourselves in another time frame.
God damn it.
Why do you argue against my logic?
It's stupid. Stupid!
It's stupid. Okay, before we go on, just to wrap a little bow on this, they made a cartoon series, which was shitty. It was, look at what point in time we can go into, and it was a quick way to give Christopher Lloyd some more work. Right. Because he's the only original voice, I think, who comes back in this. Mm-hmm. And they even make live segments where it's him supposedly playing with Jules and Vern, who have set up a video camera.
Who again? Oh, Dad. Time traveling again. Yep. Seriously, those kids look so bored at the end.
But, yeah, essentially it was a quick way to make... It was like milking the cow before you chopped it up for meat. And then there's the rides at Universal, which mm-hmm. I know people had fun with it. You're getting chased by a T-Rex. This is pre-Jurassic Park stuff. Mm-hmm. But essentially, it's just a giant box you're getting shook around in. You went, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not making any of this up. No. It's like the Captain EO ride.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a shame they're going to close that down soon.
That sound.
Yeah. Like we said at the beginning of the podcast, like Back to the Future references are everywhere.
Yeah. They are.
I'm noticing
well,
it a lot
and
more
it's
now.
Mostly from the first one. And I don't think there's a lot of references. From
well,
this,
actually, no.
The
I just
one.
I just watched an episode of Supernatural that's Back to the Future 3 themed.
Oh, my gosh.
They travel back in time to get something from the past. They don't get it, so they go back to whatever year, like 2000 something, and Western Union shows up and delivers a package that's been sitting around since 18 whatever. And I was like, oh, I get it. Oh, my God, I get it.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me?
So, Gavin, recommend it?
I recommend all three. Here's the little love-hate relationship I have with it at this point in my life. I've watched it so much that I fast-forward through parts of 1, 2, and 3 because, as we've said, There's a lot of convoluted shit that you could skip over and not miss a beat. It's not entirely important that you see George hit on Lorraine, fail, and then watch Lorraine fall even more deeply in love with Marty.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So, yeah, it's one of those movies where if you have somebody who's never watched it, you need to duct tape them and make them watch it. Clockwork Orange, that shit.
What are you trying to say?
But, you know, it's again, one of those films where you could just as easily be watching it on TV in the background. And, you know, it's comfort movie food.
Yeah, definitely. That's a good description. I would definitely recommend the first one. The first one is an absolute must. 2 and 3 can do without.
Well, if you don't have anything to do for the day or the weekend.
Yeah. It's definitely a thing.
Dude, get the trilogy. I own the trilogy. And it's in a pretty blue, shiny box.
It's right over there in a pretty blue, shiny box.
Yeah. Yeah. They're good movies. I mean, if anything, watch them and laugh, especially these points. You know?
Yeah. So. Yeah.
Laugh at the part where Marty almost got hung. It's a real this is a real story. Michael J. Fox didn't want a stunt double for that, and he almost got hung.
Do you think that's how he got Parkinson's?
No. Maybe. I think he got Parkinson's because he had shitty genes.
Oh.
That's not an all moment. That's reality.
His genes were pretty tight in those movies.
Yeah.
That wraps it up for episode 2.
Well, did you get... I think my favorite part in... the first one. I don't know if you guys even talked about it. Is when he goes and makes his dad listen to headphones.
Oh yeah,
to talk him into asking his mom out to the dance. That's my
favorite. Oh, and there's
I love that. Yeah,
there's stuff in the deleted scenes of these movies that people should go and find because there's like little things that I enjoy, like the hair dryer. They never mention where the hair dryer came from. When he goes and he visits his dad, you know, the ray gun that's on his belt.
Yeah.
If there's a deleted scene where Doc Brown is going through the suitcase he would have taken of stuff to the future, and then there's a hair dryer, and he's just like looking at the contraption, befuddled.
Ridiculous.
In Back to the Future 2, when Biff returns the DeLorean, just after they take off, you see him clutching his chest. He kind of falls on the ground, breathing heavily. And then fades, like Marty started to do in Back to the Future 1, which to me, there's a lot of theories behind it, but basically at some point between 85 and 2015, either he has a heart attack or Lorraine shoots him. That's what I think happens, one of those two things, but it got deleted.
Interesting.
There's some cool stuff in the DVDs that's worth finding if you buy the Blu-ray.
I'll have to pick up to... view the deleted scenes. I'd be into those.
Yeah. Especially in number one.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because number one's an absolute must.
Number one's an absolute must. I think you'd enjoy the hairdryer scene.
Probably. Most likely.
Yeah.
So do you say all three are a must?
I say all three are a must because here's the problem. You're watching number one, you get to the end, you see to be continued. At some point in time... And I don't know if this happened with you, Rebecca, or not, but I can imagine it happening to people. At some point, there's a little tick in the back of your mind that's going to be gnawing at you, being like, man, I better watch 2 and 3. It's like you can't watch Star Wars and know that there's Empire and Jedi. You know what I mean? You kind of want to see that story continue.
See, I could totally watch number one.
Listen to this podcast and be okay.
I could totally watch number one, and if they didn't have the to be continued, like they obviously set up for a sequel, you know.
Yeah,
I would be okay without a sequel. Like, I'll just go online and read some fan fiction, you know.
They didn't have fan fiction online in 1985.
Well, we're not 1985. We're just saying.
I was saying 2013. Rebecca watching it for the first time.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, it was on your other podcast that we won't bring up at the moment, but. I loved your comment of coming summer of 1990. Oh, I can't wait that long.
That is true. I did finish the second one. And they show a trailer for the next one because I was aware that they were filmed back to back. And I'm like, coming 1990? Aw, nerds. All right. Well, that about wraps it up for episode 2 of Culture Crash.
Now,
Back to the Future.
Do you guys know what you want to do for the next show?
Yeah. What are we doing for the next show?
I love that. Doctor Who.
New Doctor Who, right?
New Doctor Who,
which for those of you who are going to attack us, we're going to be very blunt. It's 2005 to what will be the 2013 Christmas special. So we're covering Eccleston,
Tennant, Smith,
and
possibly
the new guy. For the whole 20 seconds he'll be in there. Much like
wait, which
two.
New guy? Okay, well, this is obviously a discussion that we'll have to wait for the next episode.
We'll wait for the next episode. Because I have some, because I'm not a Whovian, but I'll have some non-Whovian questions for you guys.
Yay!
You should watch some Doctor Who.
You know what?
Because that is the whole point of this podcast, is I feel empty if I'm not binge-watching something.
No, so I can, well, my daughter is really into it now.
Really? Yeah. Wait, the middle one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah. No, she is.
She loves that Tennant.
Oh, she loves, I mean.
It's the hair.
Mm. It's like once you guys get into it, you get into it. See, there's no half-hearted Whovian out there.
Oh, and we will discuss this.
And I'm going to ask this, having two women here, I'm going to ask point blank, what is it about each one that you find attractive and unnecessary?
Okay, oh my God, I'm so excited for the next episode.
I'll have to do some research.
Oh my God, I'm so excited for next episode. The Day of the Doctor.
Yeah, that's a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
Well, anyway. Thank you for joining us, and join us next time on
Culture Crash.
Oh yeah,
thanks, like,
assholes.
Do we just Culture Crash?
Culture Crash.
Crash.
Culture Crash was created and hosted by Rebecca Frost and Gavin Sheehan, and is recorded and produced by Crystal Nielsen. If you have something that you'd like us to review on the show, please send your suggestions to culturecrashpodcast@gmail.com or connect with us on Twitter at culturecrashslc or facebook.com/culturecrashslc. This is Adam Sherlock saying thanks for listening, and remember, we're not just watching culture, we are the culture.